OVCF, we are so glad you're here with us today, and you will notice something behind me that we haven't had for about 7 weeks, and that is our worship team is back live, and so we are excited about that, and we are glad that you have joined us. Thank you for having come in and visited with us. Please let us know when you get here by posting it on Facebook, and let us know that you signed in, and if you are from somewhere else, please say where you're from. But we're glad you're here today, and we look forward to being with you and spending some time with you. Our worship team is going to begin with a song, and we want to invite you to worship at home with us, and then I'll come back up and take care of our announcements and a prayer time. So let's worship together.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
That's a good song for us to start with after having been quarantined shut down for so long as the God is on our side. And we thank you for joining us this morning. If you should have received a bulletin either via email or on the Facebook or on the church's website. And so I'm just going to mention a couple things to you. Our May 31st date is the day that we plan to begin to meet here again. Now, you can see on the bulletin there are some restrictions there. And if you go to the website, you'll see the church's website, or you should have received an email that has all those restrictions and the recommendations that we will be doing as a church body. And so I don't want to go over all of those at this point, but just if you would just look at it and keep those in mind, that would be great. June 7th is our high school or our graduation recognition day. And if you have somebody who is graduating, please let us know. And you can see the rest of the announcements in the bulletin. I'm just going to leave it at that, and you could read the bulletin for yourself. If you would like to turn over and look at the prayer needs, we have some that we would like to mention to you. Again, we will continue to pray for all the school-related prayer, the students, the teachers, the faculty, and administrators, and especially the parents who are having to change everything. Pray for our public safety workers. We will continue to do that. Our healthcare professionals, and we have quite a list there of those that we've been asked to pray for. And we have some health concerns. Ann Keeler is Eric Tuton's mom. She had back surgery this past week and has asked that we pray for her. Marjorie Wells is Terry Walker's mother, and she is in Glen Burn, and she has been diagnosed with COVID virus, and so we ask that you remember her. And then I've been asked to mention Bobby Porter. He has stage 4 face cancer, and he put it on Facebook, so I was given permission to mention his name, so be praying for him. And many of you know Chuck Durbin. He was one of the security guards at the courthouse. He passed away this past week, and we're asking prayers for his family, and so be in prayer for them. Would you join me in prayer, and then we'll turn it back over to the worship team, and they will lead us in some songs of worship. And so, Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the breeze. We thank you for a beautiful weekend. And most important of all, we thank you that you've given us this day to set aside to worship you. And I realize that all over the world on this day, there are folks who are gathering together in private, in sometimes in secret. We also know there are those in homes. Some are worshiping in church buildings. But all over this creation, all over this world, there are people who are getting together to worship you. And so I thank you that we are one in Christ. And so we pray that they will worship you and honor you. And I pray for our folks today, those who are listening in on this broadcast and this podcast, and that they will, as a result of that, just be able to draw closer to you. We give these folks to you, and we leave them at your feet. We pray for all our school administrators, the parents, the students, and all that they are doing, and the homeschooling that's going on. I know it's a trying time for many, but I pray that you'll give them just a few more weeks of patience as they work through this. Also pray for all our frontline workers, not just for the nursing and nurses and the doctors, but also those like the grocery store workers, for the emergency medical people, and so on. All of those folks, we just pray for their protection. And as I spoke with a friend last night, he said both his daughters spent the whole day testing people. So I pray for protection for all of those who are doing that. And we pray for Ann, Eric's mom, and we ask that you will bring her back to health. I pray for Terry's mom, that you will help her as she fights this virus. And then I pray for the Durbin family and ask that you will ease their grief and ease their pain with your comfort. And then I also pray for Bobby Porter and for his cancer. I pray for his family. And if it's within your will, we pray for healing. And so now, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your grace to us. As we worship you now, whether we're at home or whether we're with a group together, I pray that our worship will come from our heart and not just be words that we sing that come from our minds. May you be praised and honored and glorified. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join us as our worship team leads us in a few songs?
From heaven's throne, you came to us and set your heart upon the cross. We'll never know the sacrifice you made. For all our sin and all our shame, you took the name and took our place. No one else could do what you have done. One name is higher, one name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all. Grave where death would die, you rose again and brought us life. You're reigning now, the Savior of the world. You're reigning now, the Savior of the world. One name is high. One name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all. The only Savior, Jesus Messiah. To you alone a praise belongs. Christ exalted over all. We'll sing your praise, we'll sing your praise, we'll sing your praise forever. And lift your name, we lift your name, Jesus over all. We'll sing your praise. We'll sing your praise, we'll sing your praise forever. And lift your name, we lift your name, Jesus over all. One name is higher, one name is stronger than any grave, than any throne. Christ exalted over all. The only Savior, Jesus Messiah. To you alone our praise belongs. Christ exalted over all. To you alone our praise belongs. Christ exalted over all. you unravel me with a melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer child of God. stone. I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me.
Today is Mother's Day, so I want to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day, and this has got to be the weirdest Mother's Day you have probably ever experienced, but I wanted to focus a little bit on characteristics of my mom and then use them as focusing on God. And I sat down this morning and wrote down some words to describe a mother: caring, compassionate, hardworking. I think in the case we have found out that it is true that a man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. And we are finding that out in spades right now. Other characteristics are diligent, protective, sensitive, patient, and loving. And when I think of my mother, I think of those last two, patient and loving, especially as she exhibited toward my three brothers. In Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. When I was growing up, we used to do what were known as responsive readings, where one person would say, the speaker would say something, and then the congregation would respond in kind and say something else. Psalm 136 is that way. It begins by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." for his steadfast love endures forever. And that phrase, his steadfast love endures forever, is repeated 26 times. And I think the psalmist is trying to make a point. But my point is this, the same love the psalmist sang about is the same continuing love we experience today. No matter what we are facing, the Bible tells us that his steadfast love never leaves us. In my mind, there is no place that is even more evident than at the communion table. It is a weekly reminder to us of his undying love and his steadfast love for us. It is also an opportunity for us then to return that love to him by saying thank you. We take communion to remind us of God's steadfast and undying love for us. And just as we would talk about a mother who loves us and how her love is undying and steadfast and patient and caring and compassionate, all of those characteristics describe God's love for us. And so as you come to the communion table this morning, I want to encourage you to reflect on the steadfast love of God. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of quiet. Heather is going to play for us a couple stanzas from Jesus Paid It All to Him I Owe. And then I'll come back up and I will lead us in communion together. So we encourage you to join us as we take communion together. And Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for the opportunity to remember and to reflect on the steadfast love of God. And as we think about the characteristics that a mom has, we are even more aware of the steadfast love, the compassion, the caring, the goodness, and on and on and on of the love of God. And so as the psalmist in 136 said, God's steadfast love endures forever. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that your love never fails, never dies, never leaves us. And so as we take our communion this morning, remind us of that truth. Remind us of the fact that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to be a sacrifice for us and to take our place. So thank you for this time of communion. As we take this together, even though we're separated, I pray that you will mold our hearts together in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus betrayed, he took the bread, He gave it to his disciples and said, take it, eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood which is shed for you. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. Okay, we're going to be making some adjustments here for a second, so be patient with us as we do that. And we wait for that, let me encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, and I'll read to chapter 4, verse 1. We're almost to the end of our series on Colossians, and I'd like to thank you for being with us through all of that. The last Sunday of this month, when we get back together as a church body, with restrictions, of course, Ryan and I are going to do something a little bit different to welcome you back and also to kind of let you know where things are. And it's a great day to get back together. It's actually what is called Pentecost Sunday. And so that will be a fantastic way for us to celebrate, if you can put it this way, the birth of the church or the rebirth, however you want to put that. So anyway, and then after that, I'm going to begin a series that will take us through the summer. And so I encourage you to kind of pray for that. And so we'll finish up Colossians next week, and then, or actually 2 weeks from now, and then Ryan and I will take care of the 31st. I'd like you to read with me Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Would you pray with me, please, as we begin? And Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon us as we study your word. Reach into our hearts. Find our hearts open and receptive to you. Teach us through your word how you want us to act with other people. It's not an easy thing, and we will be challenged every day to act accordingly. And so I pray that you will just pierce our hearts, convict us where we need convicted. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that you will help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. I've been reading the last couple of weeks a book by Gary Thomas called When to Walk Away, and it's Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And I want to begin the message this morning with a story that he tells in here. I'm going to read it directly as he has it because it is much more effective than if I try to tell it to you. And I quote, I don't know how much the following episode was dramatized for a Hollywood script, but in the movie Gettysburg, General Lee is portrayed as being furious with General J.E.B. Stuart, who took his cavalry, and left the Confederate forces all but blind without sending in reconnaissance reports during the early days of the famous Civil War battle in Pennsylvania. When Stuart finally returns, Lee chastises him, forcefully informing Stuart that many officers believe Stuart has let them all down. And Stuart demands to know the officers' names. Lee responds with conviction, "There is no time for that." So Lee proceeds to scold the cavalry officer for leaving all of them woefully uninformed about the Union's positions and says, to make himself very clear, this must never happen again. Stuart flinches at Lee's harsh words, puts down his hat, pulls out his sword, a sign of resignation. "Since I have lost your confidence," and Lee slams his fist down on the table and he screams, "I have told you there is no time for that. There is no time." Their armies were involved in a furious struggle. Men were literally dying. Which men and how many would depend on choices they were making. Even as they spoke, there was no time to worry about personal squabbles or hurt egos. All energy had to be focused on the task at hand. There is no time for that. When it comes to being a follower of Christ, there is no time like the present to be active. When it comes to being a follower of Christ, there is no time to waste. If we have learned anything over the last 8 to 9 weeks, it is that we do not know the future, that anything can happen. And it's that truth that should be like an impulse to us, be like a push to us, that anything can happen. That is especially true in regards to the family. Living as Christ followers means that we are involved in, He is involved in every part of our lives, every aspect of our life, every area of our life. But folks, it starts at home. This passage shows us that. And I want to spend a little bit of time with you on this passage showing us family matters. And you can look at that as family matters, or you can say family matters. However you want to look at that, but we're going to look at the influence and how our life in Christ affects other people. The first thing we're going to look at is that it matters how we treat our family. I think it's necessary to say from the get-go that God established the home in the Garden of Eden when He brought Adam and Eve together. I'm not going to make a snarky comment about how we have messed that up. That's not the point of this passage. I'm not going to talk about how things are all messed up. These verses here, especially these first two verses, are very domestic. He's talking about a Christian home. He's talking about a Christian husband and a Christian wife. And he says nothing here about the roles in society. He says nothing here about a marketplace. He says nothing about politics, and he certainly says nothing about the roles in the church, and neither will I. Someone has said a text without a context is a pretext. And so if I don't take the text as it is in context, then I am imposing on this text my own thoughts. And so what I want to do is I want to simply take a look at this content of this, the context of this passage, and show you what Paul has to say about how what happens matters in our home. The first word that he gives us is to our wives, and the key word to that is submission. Now, I realize, ladies, that that is not a very kind word to many women. But before you balk at that, let me just simply put it this way. Who is the greatest example of submission that you know? Well, if you answer Jesus, then you answered correctly, and you can give yourself a virtual high five. But Jesus Himself was equal with the Father. He shared the same divinity, the same power, the same glory, the same authority, and yet He was submissive to His Father's will so that He could accomplish our salvation. Now, Paul is not condoning male domination in this passage when he says, "Wives, submit to your husband." Nor is he talking about or condoning any abuse of any kind. It is my personal opinion that you are not to remain in an abusive relationship. But you cannot dismiss the statement here. Jesus is of equal dignity, we are of equal dignity, but our attitudes need to be fleshed out. And the key part of that is that as is fitting in the Lord. And so, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, the second choice of words is to the husband. And the two things stand out to that. First of all, he says, husbands, love your wives. Now, I realize that you've probably heard this before. If not, let me encourage you to listen to this. And the two passages that are used here in Colossians and Ephesians, never once are the wives told to love their husbands, but twice the husband is told to love his wife. And in fact, Paul emphasizes that even more in Ephesians when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that strikes me rather strong. And the word for love here is a continuous action. It's not something that you just say. I heard once about a couple that went to see a counselor, and they were having serious problems. And he gave the wife a chance to speak, and she said, he never tells me he loves me. He never shows it. He never acknowledges it. I would just like to hear him say, I love you. And the counselor looked at the husband and says, what do you have to say about it? He said, well, I told her on the day we married, I loved her, and if it ever changed, I would let her know. He was missing the point completely, because love is a continuous action. It's a willing love, and it's a love of choice. Now, the second truth that comes out of that is that do not be embittered. Now, my translation says, don't be harsh with them. That word literally means it refers to being bitter in taste. In other words, don't call her honey and treat her like vinegar. There is a disconnect there. We are not to display harshness of temper or resentment to our wives. Now, this was common in Paul's day. To men in Paul's day, women were just cattle. They were possessions. And so what Paul is saying here, husbands, love your wives, and it would be harsh with them, he's actually going against the grain of his own culture, because Jesus is asking us to go against the grain. We are asked to treat each other with respect. And Paul is advocating a difference. And guys, we cannot disassociate ourselves from this verse. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be harsh with them. But there's a third choice of words, and I've put these two together, and that is the father and the children, and the key word to that is obedience. This is kind of a nebulous thing today, because in many cases, children are not desirous of, nor are they made to be obedient to their parents. I know myself, if my brothers had been disobedient to my mom and dad, they would have paid the price. And since I was such a good kid, never mind, I won't even go there. Anyway, disobedience meant reprisal. Unfortunately, we have so many parents today who are letting their children do whatever they want to do and refuse to discipline. Maybe it's because they're too busy. Maybe it's because they're too preoccupied. Maybe it's because they're too docile and they don't want to take away their freedom. But he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, or children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. But he doesn't stop there with the children. He goes right to the fathers. And he says, do not provoke your children. Now, this word provoke, in the old King James translation, it uses the word exasperate. That word literally means to irritate or to stir up. Now, my children would consider me exasperating to them because I like to stir them up. I like to tease them and joke with them. But this is not talking about in the teasing vein. This is talking about living a double life. Dad, especially. Mom, you too. We can't live a double life in front of our children and expect them to embrace our faith. What we are at home, we need to be elsewhere. And what we are in church, we need to be at home. They need to see consistency. They need to see reality in us. They need not to see hypocrisy. Many of us are home, but not really home. Many parents are overprotective. Many show favoritism. Many of parents are consistently putting their children down. Many of them are failing to show affection to their children, and we have double standards. And there are more children who leave their childhood faith because of the double standard of their parents than because of the arguments they hear from an atheist or arguments they hear in a college. They are most often turned off by the double life of their parents. So I want to encourage you to be consistent. I found this, and I know many of you have heard this. It's written by Dorothy Law Nolte. She wrote it back in 1982. It's called Children Learn What They Live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Our children find what they need at home. If they don't find it at home, they'll look elsewhere. So it does matter how we treat our family. The second part of this family matters is it matters how we treat others. What we're about to talk about is a touchy subject. More so in our day than in Paul's day. It raises, when we hear about it, it raises the hair on the back of our neck because it just has this bad connotation to us. Now, it was acceptable in Paul's day, and that is the term slavery. In my study, I found out that many historians believed that there were more than 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, and that equals half the population. So it was below the dignity of owners or slave-owning Romans to even work. They left practically everything up to the slaves, and that included doctoring, that included teaching their children. They went off, did their own thing, and they left everything up to the slave. But except for a few, they showed absolutely no respect to the slaves. They saw slaves as things, as possessions, what we would say as cattle. We need to own the idea that people are not possessions. And even on our own country, during the Civil War, the story that I told earlier, even in our own country, even though there were some good owners, there were those who, most of them, were mean and abusive and demeaning to others. So what Paul is saying here does apply to us. It does apply to Paul's day and age, and he's going against the grain with all of this. But let's look what he says. First of all, he speaks to the servant or to the slave. He says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters." And so we are told here that our work is to do and to please God. He goes on to say, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." So as a servant, as a slave, we're supposed to work to please God. Now, I want you to understand that even as Paul writes this, this does not mean that he is in favor of slavery. And I've heard that argument from some people that your God is so much of a God, why did he allow slavery? Why did Paul approve of slavery? Paul is not approving of slavery. He is actually going against the grain and telling servants, be kind. But there is a truth that I want you to see about all of this. When you are doing something for God, a lowly calling like being a servant becomes a high calling of being a servant for the Father of all. When you and I are being servants to others, we are not being low in the sense of being dirt. We should see our calling as a very high calling because we're serving the Father. But I like what Paul does because he doesn't give the masters a free ride. He goes on in verse 1, and he says, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So the word to the master is being just and be fair. You see, the mistreatment of slaves in that day and age was a given. A Christian master, he said, was to treat their servants or slaves differently, and basically as we would want to be treated. Now, let me apply this to our day and age, since we don't really have slaves. If you own a business, that business is yours. Treat your employees well. Treat them fairly. Treat them with justice as you would want the Father in heaven to treat you. If you are an employee, work as though you are working for the Father. You see, so many of us want to see how much we can get by with or how little we can get by with without being responsible. What Paul is telling us is, masters, treat your bondservants with justice and fairness, but he's also telling us, we who are employees, to work hard and to work heartily. So if we, and I want to close this with this, if we as husbands and we as wives and we as fathers and we as children and we as employers and we as employees treat each other as Paul suggests here that we are servant to the Father, this world, our homes, our workplace would be a different place. We would let our light shine and lives would be changed. So let me go back and kind of bring everything to a close. As a father or as a husband, I'm to love my wife and not exasperate my children. As a wife, I'm supposed to submit to my husband. As a father, I'm to treat my children well and right. As a child, I'm to be obedient to my parents. As a servant or employee, I am to work heartily and realize that as I work, I am working for God. And then as an employer, I am to treat my people well and do it justly and fairly. So that's the message that I believe that God has for us, and that is that things matter, family matters, and we are to treat each other as though we are family. So let's pray, and then I will bring this to a close with this prayer. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the truth that's in your scripture. As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a child, as an employer, as an employee, help each one of us to realize the responsibility we have to represent you in all things. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just draw us to you. Help us desire to be like Jesus, to draw close to him, to be his representative, to be his servant here on earth. And I pray that as a result of that, lives will be changed. This world will be a different place. Our workplace will be different. Our home will be different. And wherever we go, people will see Jesus and our light will shine. So thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this time together, and thank you for these folks who have watched. And I pray that you'll help us this week as things begin to open up a little bit, that you'll help us to be sensitive and toward other people, and help us to remember that this life is not our own.
that we are bought with a price by you and that we belong to you and we are servants of other people. So go with us this week. Be with these folks who have listened. And then I just pray that you'll bless their week as they go about their day. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for being with us today. Link is on YouTube or what's that? Okay. Do you want me to say that now? Okay.